Steve Kodat joins me again from Southwest Florida, and he is an expert in feng shui. So feng shui is it's kind of a science, Steve. Would you say so?
I would, Eric. I really consider it an environmental science. It's something that they started thousands of years ago for placing their temples or their houses and trying to put them in a very secure position, and also at the same time be able to see what or who was coming towards them so they could react. And so they got very good at using the environment. They were able to use that to create a more successful and productive life. And that total idea is now the way we place furniture and items inside of a house, too, to try to give a person a very safe, secure environment.
Mm. So last week we discussed living on a cul-de-sac, and oftentimes if you're at the head or the very end of a cul-de-sac, how you might need to do some breaks, some buffers to help with that feng shui, that being at a T-junction, the yang energy, the parallel and perpendicular yang energy kind of comes into a house. It's a little too much and overwhelming. What would be the ideal lot location in average feng shui?
Well, the ideal situation would be to have a good solid buffer behind you. The idea that I teach with respect to building a house or finding a house that you're looking for is to use what's called the classic armchair setup, which means thousands of years ago having a mountain behind you, having a hill or trees on both the left and the right side, and then being able to see for miles. So when you're doing it in a normal subdivision, what you're looking for is a buffer behind you. And then it could be just trees. It could be a wall. It could be a fence. But you want a buffer behind you, protecting you, giving you some privacy. But then you also want to have some protection on the sides. And then you want to be able to see the street out in front, up and down the street, as well as possible. You want to be able to see who's coming your way and what opportunity might be coming your way, too.
From the backside, from the rear side of the property, that's a benefit to be able to see. Or you're saying from all sides. You just want to be potentially at the height of the land, the highest point?
Right. Well, you don't want to be so high up that it's an extreme angle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I've lived in the Northeast, and I do know that there are some fairly steep driveways sometimes. So you try to stay away from anything that is of too much of an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And that even includes where there might be a house that's below street level, where you have to sort of gun it to get up the drive to get to the street to go to work or wherever. You want to take away the extreme. So the primarily kind of lot is they want it to be flat or slightly at a rise would be the best.
Okay. So, for instance, I know of a property that from the street, in order to get up to the house, you actually do have to climb a very steep slope. But once you get up there, you have incredible vistas. You feel very, very privileged and wonderful about being into that spot. But getting to it requires, extra RPM and the little extra heavy foot on the car pedal. So thoughts about something like that?
Yeah, that's a little bit too drastic in some cases, because you know, you're right, the view might be really great.
Mm-hmm.
But a reason why thousands of years ago when they built their houses or temples with a mountain behind them, they built about a third to halfway up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be at the top because of forceful wind, forceful energy up there. And so, you know, maybe the view was going to be great, but there were going to be other things that were going to hurt the situation. So that might be great for them, but one of the things is that, again, it's very difficult to get up there. Mm-hmm. And it's a psychological thing that, you know, it's sort of has some discomfort to come home to an environment like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it might be pretty, but it wouldn't be for everybody.
Now, take the corner lot. People oftentimes think of a corner yard as being an advantage because you have a lot of street frontage on two sides.
Mm-hmm.
What any opinions on that if the house also is faced into the corner, so it has a smaller backyard, or if it's normal shape? What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly have an opinion on that for sure. Well, in the first place, the best type of feng shui lot would be what's called a regular shape, like a square or rectangle. You try to stay away from a pie-shaped lot just because of the way the energy comes in and stays. So that's one of the things on a cul-de-sac. The pie-shaped lot is not quite as advantageous. Corner lot has what is considered a lot of energy on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I teach my students that you're wanting to make sure that there is what I would call a yin section to the house. And on a corner lot, you have an awful lot of activity up to the front on both sides, so it's more yang, more active. So having a bedroom in a lot like that, quite often you're going to have one of the walls on a street, and therefore it can then be a detriment to your sleep, which then is a detriment to your health and so forth. So a lot of corner lots really are not really positive for that reason. A corner lot, in a lot of cases, is really not an advantage for most people. And so I don't really highly recommend them for most people, but there are some folks that like it, but mm-hmm. it doesn't work for everybody.
Okay. Thanks to Steve Kodad. By the way, if you want more information on Steve and the Feng Shui Cure, go to The Feng Shui Cure. That's FENGSHUI, cure.com. Brief time out, and the Eric Stewart Show continues right after this.